Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright. Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions, worth staying up all night for. Award-winning author Leanne Tyler writes sweet and a little bit sensual southern romances, historical and contemporary, and maybe a touch of the paranormal thrown in for good measure. Her novel Season of Love is a time travel set in 1850 Charleston. Leanne Tyler's The Good Luck series shines with delightful down-home writing and humor. More for your historical romance fix is Leanne's short story Ava from the Love Letters series and also her full-length novel Because of Rebecca. Look for author Leanne Tyler through all published and ebook venues such as Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine romance books are sold. Thank you for visiting Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We're so glad you've joined us here in the Dark Hollows Press studio. Donna Wright has Marisha, Artisha, and Unoma in the sitting room this evening to talk about their latest releases. We'll be hearing about the Romancing the Smokies event coming March 19th. Mallory Kane will have news and info in the romance and publishing industry at the bottom of the hour. And this is Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, brought to you by Dark Hollows Press. I'm Jackie DeVera, and now your enrapturing Wunderkind Chanteuse, Donna Wright.
I don't know exactly what that meant, but I think it was German. It sounded German to me. Usually I take a few minutes first thing and just say hello, but today I'm going to get right to it because I know that my first guest, Donna Hill, has a class she has to teach, and she has to get off of here very quickly. So hi, Donna, and welcome to Hummingbird Place.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. Well, it's always my pleasure. So tell
Thank
us
you.
All about... I'll tell you what, you've only got the 10 minutes or so that you can play with because I know you've got to run. So let's just get right to it, and you tell us a little bit about your latest release, Indiscretion.
Okay, well, Indiscretion, it's sort of actually a reissue. The book was it was first published in 1991, and it was never transferred over to an electronic version. So this is like the very first time that the book has been an electronic version of the book. And it's great to have it in part of celebration of my 25th year of being a published writer. So it was the second book that I ever wrote, and I'm excited to have it back again. It was inspired by a television show that I watched. It was something like Law and Order, like ages ago. And as I was watching it, one of the themes was prosecutorial misconduct. And I thought that was such a fabulous word. So I said, I'm excited about whatever it is, I'm going to write about it. And
that's right.
So I set out on this task to L.A. Law, that was the name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set out on this task to write this novel about prosecutorial misconduct. And the lead character, my heroine, is Kendra. And Kendra is, a hard-hitting attorney out in Atlanta. She has what is going to be a case that is a career maker. But instead of her getting it, they bring in this hotshot attorney. Shawn Michaels, and of course that becomes the love interest, but the clash is they both want the same thing, which is this case. And of course there's a host of complications, that keep them both from getting what it is that they want. So I've always been excited about that book. It was one of the first books that I had that actually made a bestseller list.
Oh, wow.
It was on the Emerge magazine bestseller list, right under Middle Passage by Charles Johnson, and Mama by Terry McMillan. I was like astounded. So to have it back now in a medium that so many people can have access to that hadn't had the opportunity. So it's really great, and I'm happy that Brown Girl Books was willing to do this, and Enchantment, which is their new romance line, they're looking for a lot of classics, so they're doing a lot of reissues and things like that. So I'm just very happy to be on the front lines of that whole new launch that Brown Girls Books is doing with Enchantment.
Well, I know that we have a lot of Brown Girls publishing authors who come on, and I always enjoy them. They're always you guys just have it all together, and I just enjoy having you guys. So I'm trying to get you out of here. If you have to go, you just say, hey, Don, I'm going to have to go. But I'm going to keep talking and try to keep you engaged at least for another 4 minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right. So now we know all about Indiscretion, and we know that it's going to be a courtroom drama, and we're going to enjoy that. Now tell us what's next for Donna Hill.
Wow, let's see, what's next? I literally just put the end and hit send to my editor last week, Friday. So my next book up is actually coming out in July of this year, For the Love of You. And that's another addition to my Lawsons of Louisiana series. So this particular novel features Craig Lawson, which is one of the cousins, and he's a filmmaker, and he comes back to his hometown to create his biggest film ever of his career so far anyway, and it's really an expose on his own family, and he's changed the names and things like that, but he came back, and one of the locations that he selected for filming is really the home of Jewel Fontaine, which is a woman who was world-renowned painter and sculptor, and just basically disappeared out of the limelight like 5-6 years earlier. And so it's the story of the two of them, the secrets and the battles and the family struggles that they have to go through in order to realize that maybe we should be together. So that'll be out in July.
And that sounds like something else. It sounds absolutely fabulous. Now, I'm going to ask you one last question because I know you've got to go. So tell us how we can find Donna Hill if we're online and we are just thinking, man, I've just got to find out more about Donna Hill.
DonnaHill.com. So that's my website. I am on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/DonnaHillWriter, and you'll wind up right on my page. If you want to tweet me something, it's at Donna Hill. So it's pretty straightforward. I try to keep up. I'm just like so busy because I'm teaching like 7 classes this semester. It's really kind of crazy. And, between that and writing, and I don't get online a lot, but I troll and I see things and, I comment. So I don't always post a lot of stuff, but I do respond, to folks when they reach out and things like that. So you can always find me. I'm wandering around somewhere in cyberspace.
I understand. I'm the same way. Donna, thank you so much for being on. I'm sorry that we have to cut you short, but it's your schedule this time, not mine. And
yes,
I just
so
appreciate
you, though.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye-bye. Now, that was Donna Hill, and her latest is Indiscretion, which is a re-release through Brown Girls Publishing. Again, they are just a fabulous group. Every time we have their authors on, they're just so friendly and sweet, and we just enjoy them so much. What I have done is I have put off doing any of our ads so that we could get as much of Donna on as we could. So if you'll just hang tight for a few minutes and listen to this.
Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappeth will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but a attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio. February 23rd brings a new release by M.D. Martin, Return to Williams Point, a small town nestled in the embrace of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Enjoy your visit, but take heed. You don't want to get caught out after dark. You never know what you may meet. Return to Williams Point. Be aware of things that go bump in the night. From Dark Hollows Press and M.D. Martin.
That scared me. I'm now officially scared. That made me very, very scared. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring on a couple of buddies of mine, and we're going to sit here and chat for a while, and we're going to enjoy ourselves. Marissa and Alicia, I'm going to try to pronounce it. Okay, guys? Are you ready?
Okay. Yes. Hi.
Hi. Is it Read Us?
Yes. Yes, it's like Read Us a Book.
That's fabulous. Marissa and Alicia are twins, ladies and gentlemen, and they write together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And they now have a fabulous book out called Breaking Through Bars, also with Brown Girl Publishing. I'm telling you, you guys are always so much fun. Tell us a little bit about, now listen, I'm going to warn you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's two of you, so if somebody gets talking a lot, I'm going to calm you down. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay, you will hear music in the background. When you do, that means I'm up against a break. So,
okay.
Ladies, tell us all about Breaking Through Bars.
Okay.
Okay. Alicia, do you want to go first?
Yeah, it's actually called Breaking Through the Bars, and it is our prison story. And it's not just about breaking through your about being in bars physically, it's also being in mental bars. And so Breaking Through the Bars was written so that people could take a journey because a lot of times people want to know, you know, what was it like before you went to prison? What made you commit that crime? I mean, it takes you through several different levels, several different things, from even me giving birth in prison to my sister leaving her baby to, you know, what made us commit the crime. I mean, it's really a book that has gotten really awesome reviews, as well as it'll make you cry, it'll make you laugh. But the book was meant to help you recognize that incarceration is not just a physical thing. It is also mental, and we were able to break through the bars despite our physical state of being, because our mental state of being was actually incarcerated before we even went to prison.
Okay, so are you telling me you guys have been in prison?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
All
yes,
right.
Yes.
So
yes.
Is Breaking Through the Bars, is it told as more of a document, like a nonfiction, or is it told in a fiction way?
Nonfiction.
It's nonfiction.
Oh, wow. So I don't know why. I guess I didn't read enough to realize what you're going to be talking about. This is amazing. So,
no, it does talk about sex and romance, though, but I don't know about the romance part. It talks about downright dirty sex.
Yes, it does.
Romance is a little different compared to what we put in the book, so yeah.
That's fun. You guys were in prison, and what you've done is you have written a nonfiction book about this is how we fell and how we got back up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's an inspirational book.
So there is redemption.
Yes, most definitely. And considering that, you know, like even with me having 7 children, you know, and me and my sister at one point was actually living in the same household, raising 9 kids together, you know, just the entire story is very inspirational to see that someone was convicted of a felony, got back up, beat the odds, did not want to be a statistic and is not a statistic in what society say that, you know, someone who is a convicted felon is supposed to be. You know, because, of course, looking at the cover of the book, I'm sure you can't tell that we're convicted felons, but Breaking Through the Bars is exactly, you know, a book about our prison story and breaking through the bars mentally, emotionally, and just in every way possible that someone could be incarcerated. That is what Breaking Through the Bars is all about. And it is our life story. Well, part of our life story. The other half, you know, because this has been back in the era of, we went to prison in 1999. So this was, you know, this was back then. You know, it was several years back. So what we've been able to accomplish, you know, once we got out of prison, that's a whole other book that'll be coming, you know.
Well, I think that just to know that you're working with Brown Girls Publishing and that you have a book out and that you have been able, I mean, that people do not realize that those things do not come overnight. That's a lot of hard work, and you guys were willing to put that in to tell your story. That, to me, is already a story of redemption. And obviously, you guys have redeemed yourself 1,000 times over. So did you go were you in there for the same thing, and you were there side by side the whole time?
Okay, this is what happened, to give you a little rundown of the story. Both my twins, this is Marisa speaking. Both of us committed the same crime, and we served the same amount of time. We were separated. We weren't side by side because we looked so much alike. We were a security risk, so they separated us. And so, yeah, it was really crazy. And when we got arrested, the police officer said that they had never had twins or even siblings arrested exactly at the same time for the exact same crime. They've had siblings to get arrested at different times, but usually not, I mean, most definitely not twins at the exact same time. But we wanted to make sure that we expressed the opportunity for redemption, the opportunity for second chances on life, because a lot of people, they get stuck and they get afraid. They feel like they can't move forward. They feel like they're a failure. But my twin sister and I, we refused. When we were in prison, we both refused to come out and do the same thing again. No way. We were not going to do that. We made up our mind that we were going to have to change some things. And with change, it means that our environment had to change. The people who we were around had to change. Our mindset had to change. But the first thing that had to change was our choices. And we chose to do better and to live better for ourselves and for our kids, because like Alicia said, when I went to prison, my daughter was 2 months old, and I also had a 4-year-old, and my twin sister went to prison pregnant, and she had 2 other sons. And so we had a lot to live for and a reason to recover, a reason to keep going, and we wanted to do better for them.
I love what you're saying. You're so right about making those choices, and I have found out, I think lots of times maturity just teaches you this. Anybody can fall, anybody. There are people who put themselves up, you know, oh, I'm this in the church, or I'm this and on the city council, and I'm this and I'm that, you know, and they honestly believe they cannot fall. And I'm telling you, I have seen it time and time again. People you would never believe would either do something wrong or cheat on their wife or whatever, and anybody can fall. The thing is what you do after you fall. Do you just continue to fall, or do you make choices like Marisa and Alicia, like you guys have done? Because what you have said to yourself is, I've got responsibilities with my children, and I am not going to back out of that responsibility. When I get out of here, I'm going to go to my children, and I'm going to do the right thing.
That's exactly it. And
you beat the odds, guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can most definitely beat the odds. And I know I'm sort of, but me and I just,
I just know we did not get a chance to tell you that we were self-published authors initially. And our first year out, we did 70 speaking engagements, and we were working with the Dallas ISD. We worked with intervention, the detention centers, and the effect that we had on them, that's for double impact. People call us double impact for a reason, because when we go in there, we're their reality. You know what I'm saying? We are their reality. When I talk to them and tell them that I have 7 children and 4 baby daddies, but I'm doing it on my own, I'm their reality in reference to the people who are out there and the lives that they have lived. And then not only that, being able to move from an area that was troubled and bad, and you see girls 13, 12, 13, 14 getting pregnant, and then you turn around and you just basically just beat the odds all together. I mean, we are their reality that things can and will change if you choose to make that change. But a lot of people have that fear. And breaking through the bars is something that you have to do in order to get there. Because, you know, fear can hold you back from and everything. Literally, there are people who don't leave domestic violence marriages simply because of fear. But breaking through the bars, even with that mental state of being, will allow you to be able to move forward if you choose to make the right choices to get out of that, because it is scary. I've been in there. And it also talks about the domestic violence even in the book, when I had bruises on my skull. I mean, this book takes you through a journey, not just a prison, but a, you know, not just one prison, but just all prisons. It's across the board, because, like I told you before in the beginning, incarceration is not limited on where we are. It is a state of being mentally.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. There are so many spirits of just for lack of a better words, just there are spirits of bad things that can engross you and just, what's the word I'm looking for? They can overcome you, so to speak, and make you think.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, I mean, we've all witnessed and all had that spirit of not good enough. Well, you know, your writing's really not good enough. You know, you really probably shouldn't do that, because everybody thinks that when the adversary is speaking to you, he's speaking to you and you're going to hear it in deep dark. No, it's that little whisper of you're not good enough.
Yeah, that builds up defeat in your mind, and that's the biggest thing that you have to overcome. You know, I think about when I was getting ready to get out, it was scary because I didn't want to mess up again.
Right.
And that little voice kept saying those ugly things. You're not allowed here, enemy, you know, to try to defeat me. I won't be defeated. But you have to be really, really determined, and you have to be really, really focused. And that does not mean that you're not going to face some temptation. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be disappointed again. And this goes for anything that you do in life. If you want to start a business, trust me, you are going to come up against some things that's going to try to hinder you and try to hold you back. And just like with us getting out of prison, there were things that came up to hinder us, try to hold us back, even through writing this book. I mean, it has been such a journey, but you continue on that journey, and you keep pushing, and you hold on to hope and believe, and you keep your faith in what you see that's ahead of you. Not what you're going through, but what's ahead of you, and you will make it through. And that's how Alicia and I made it through, because I'm telling you, we most definitely got hit from one angle to the next angle. I mean, life was real for us, and it's just like it is for everyone else, but everybody has their different struggles. For us, we had to make sure that we kept our mind and our decision on solid ground. You know, that was something that was so very important.
No, go ahead, sweetheart.
We want those people who always made good decisions. You know, we want those people that made wisest choices, that, you know, that seemed like we were going down the right path. We were going down the wrong path for a long time before we even hit prison. You know, so long before we hit prison, we was hitting prison. We were doing a lot of things. And so it was at that point when we went to prison, it was like, when I went to prison, I was just like, I can't even believe I'm here. You know what I'm saying? But people said, you keep on doing this, you don't go to prison. People don't believe that the sky is blue until you touch it. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I feel about some people's circumstances. They don't believe it until it happens.
So now you ladies are, you're writing books, and you're also working with local law enforcement. Is that what I heard? Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you're working with local law enforcement. What has your contribution been to that?
Okay. We have worked with youth on probation, and we also mentor. We've mentored the youth on probation. We do speaking engagements at with the youth. And we also have done inspections within the juvenile detention center here to make sure that the living arrangements are up to par for the inmates, for the youth that come through there. And so we've done a variety of different things in reference to that, but mainly we have done a lot of mentorship. We have done trainings. We provide trainings, and we teach about the power of choice and the power of change, because that's a power that every last one of us have. Now, whether
yes.
we choose to use it or not, you know,
right.
some people, they feel so stuck, like they can't. I'm like, you can. You know, you really do have, I mean, for youth, it's a little different because they
yeah.
may be in a situation where their parents may be on drugs, their mom may be a prostitute, but I always encourage them that you will grow up. You have to choose what you want for your life. You don't have to follow what they're doing. You don't have to be that person that you see in your mom or in your dad. You can be different. You don't have to be that. And so so that's the main thing. And then we also, like Alicia said, we've worked with the Dallas ISD. We've spoken in the school districts. And we also deal with the city and the county and the state of Texas, and which those are two different things. Some people, some of the youth go to jail for truancy or running away, but then we've also worked with the sex offenders. We've also worked with the youth who've had hard crimes that they've committed, like assault, yeah, violent crimes. And so we were also able to touch their lives as well in reference to them choosing a better path, because that's what it is. It's a choice. Now, there are deeper things in reference to sex offenders. It's a little different, but in reference to, aside from that, all of the kids are impacted in some kind of way, and they're enlightened with the power of choice and the power of change.
And I do want to emphasize on this. I wanted to tell you, our parents were not the ones at fault in this situation. I will
mm-hmm.
throw that out there, even though both our parents are gone now. My dad was killed in a car wreck, and my mom died of cancer. But needless to say, they were not the ones that fought, although we were the ones, we were trying to blame them. You know, so just because you're a good parent doesn't mean that you're going to have good children. You know what I'm saying? That's just one of those
yeah.
things. My mom did nothing in front of us to make us, you know, to me, I will always admit that I was a fight. Have you ever heard that word fight before? Oh, I was that woman. I was that. That woman, Marisa, was the whoremonger and cheating wife, but me, on the other hand, I was the one that was wild, sleeping around. I was a stripper, you know, all those things. And my mom never disrespected herself, did nothing of that sort, including my dad. Despite him being married 5 times, he still never disrespected himself in front of us, and I didn't see my parents get beat. And all the things I experienced in my life is because I exposed myself to them. It wasn't because of what they did. It was because of what I decided to do in my life. So if there are parents out there listening and you do have a troubled teenager, don't think it's because you've done so much wrong or that you've done something wrong. A lot of times it could just be your own child mindset that makes them act that way, who they are. You know, if they're going to be rebellious, it's who they are. You know, it's not your fault all the time. It's not the parents' fault all the time. Yeah.
It's
I just
really not. I agree, Alicia, because, I mean, our parents and every parent out here, I remember seeing on Tyler Perry's movie, The Family That Prays, it said that we are not our kids' only influence. And we are not our kids' only influence. And
right.
for Alicia and I, we were influenced by other things. I was influenced by money. I was influenced by things. I was influenced by status. There were other things that influenced me. And it, my mom, she was a great mama. She was a school teacher. She never had a man inside of our house, never shacked up. You understand? I mean, she was a role model. But we chose, based off the things that we saw around us and the things that we thought we needed to be and wanted to be and all the other stuff that comes with growing up, you know,
yeah.
we chose to follow that instead of what she gave to us. So if there are parents listening right now, and like Alicia said, if you do have a troubled teen, for one, don't lose hope, because what you instill inside of your child and inside of your children, it does stay with them. That
mm-hmm.
is one thing for sure, because we never forgot, and I think that's one of the reasons why we were able to recover it so well, you know, that's the reality, because she did instill some really good things in us. So don't be discouraged if you have someone, have a child going through something. Try to support them with your whole heart, but do not be a crutch in their life, because our mother was not a crutch in our life. She let us grow up. She said either sink or swim. She did not baby us, none of that, which we now appreciate so much. So just be encouraged, parents of teenagers, because it is difficult, because my twin sister, like she said, she had 7. Now I have 3. So
the music slam, Aretha.
I heard it.
J.K. Ensley talked all the way through my music one time.
Oh, yeah, that was too funny.
Finally, I just said, Jennifer, honey, you're going to have to cut it off and let me get to a commercial. Anyway, ladies, I haven't even said your names enough on here. We are talking with Marissa and Alicia Redis, and your story has just been so inspiring that I should have cut to commercials and didn't. So now I'm going to have to make all those commercials up. But thank you so, so, so much for being on.
Oh, thank you for having us.
It has been, I can't wait to read Breaking Through the Bars. Everybody, remember, Breaking Through the Bars with Marissa and Alicia Redis. Now, I do not have your website, so tell everybody what your website is.
Okay, our website is doubleimpactspeaks.com. That's doubleimpactspeaks.com, and we are on Facebook, Double Impact Authors and Motivators. So that's it.
I'm sorry that you had to go through horrible things, but I'm so proud and honored to have you on, because you have chosen to make the best of it and to also help other people not go down the path that you went down. And I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you for having us.
Well, it has been my pleasure. It has absolutely been my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Marissa and Alicia Redis, again, Breaking Through the Bars. And it just sounds like such a wonderful story of falling and getting back up on your feet. And that redemption it's real. This is not a fiction story. It's real. So I want everybody to run out and get that. You know, it's almost time for news. Yes, news. With the one and only Mallory Kane, who, as you know, could not be here last week because she was out doing something. I don't know. I mean, I heard she was working a corner somewhere, but I'm not going to say anything. It's none of my business. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, before we get to her, though, let's do a couple of those ads I was saying that I forgot to do. And we will be right back after this.
Dark Hollows Press is a publisher of romance whose authors present high-quality stories full of desire. They welcome submissions from both new as well as established authors. They offer a built-in reader base, professional editing, cover design and marketing, worldwide distribution, and competitive royalties paid monthly. Dark Hollows Press publishes all genres of romantic expression, from historical to fantasy, sci-fi to contemporary, and now urban fantasy and new adult. Find submission guidelines or find a new favorite book or author at darkhollowspress.com.
Thank you for joining us at Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We come to you each week from the Dark Hollows Press studio. For more fun and information, join us at thehummingbirdplace.com. There you can find out about our upcoming shows and events such as Romancing the Smokies, a live event in 2016. Remember, just go to thehummingbirdplace.com.
And now the latest about Romancing the Smokies.
Romancing the Smokies on March 19th, 2016 is going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you are invited. There are still a few reader tickets left, although author slots are full. And I just wanted to let everybody know we've only got 10 reader tickets left. And now I'm going to throw it over to my buddy Mallory Kane. Mallory, I'm letting you in tonight, even though it's sort of warm here in East Tennessee.
Thank you, Donna. You know how much I love the inside parlor.
Oh, I know.
As opposed to the outside gazebo. Okay. Well, in news, there have been a couple of author deaths in the past few weeks. Award-winning author Margaret Forster, who wrote more than 40 books after her 1960s bestseller, Georgie Girl, died this month at age 77. Her husband, the writer and journalist Hunter Davies, said that she died at a hospice near her North London home. Forster, a former teacher, was one of the UK's most prolific writers, producing more than 20 works of fiction and a host of award-winning nonfiction titles after her success with the 1965 novel about a young woman adrift in swinging London. Georgie Girl was made into a film starring Lynn Redgrave in the title role, alongside Charlotte Rampling, Alan Bates, and James Mason, and featuring a song which was recorded by the Australian group The Seekers and became an international chart topper. The song was listed at number 36 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Pop Songs of All Time. Forster interspersed her novels with books about literary figures such as Thackeray and Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and had a BDI for a good story. It was her 1993 biography of Daphne du Maurier that first revealed the novelist's complicated sexuality and her obsession with women, notably the actress Gertrude Lawrence. Umberto Eco, the Italian scholar and best-selling author of such novels as The Name of the Rose, also died this month in Milan at age 84. And the third author death that I have information about is the death of Pulitzer Prize-winning author Harper Lee at age 89. Lee won the Pulitzer for fiction in 1961 for To Kill a Mockingbird and was much in the headlines last year when a previously unknown manuscript was discovered and published in the summer as Ghost Set a Watchman. In a statement released Friday morning, Michael Morrison, president and publisher of HarperCollins U.S. General Book Group and Canada, and publisher of Mockingbird and Watchmen, said, "The world knows Harper Lee was a brilliant writer, but what many don't know is that she was an extraordinary woman of great joyfulness, humility, and kindness. She lived her life the way she wanted to, in private, surrounded by books and the people who loved her. I will always cherish the time I spent with her." Lee's agent, Andrew Nirnberg, also released a statement. "Knowing Nell these past few years has been not just an utter delight, but an extraordinary privilege. When I saw her just 6 weeks ago, she was full of life, her mind and mischievous wit as sharp as ever. She was quoting Thomas More and setting me straight on the Tudor history. We have lost a great writer, a great friend, and a beacon of integrity." Among the many accolades that she earned in her life, Harper Lee was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2007. To Kill a Mockingbird has sold 40 million copies worldwide, and the publishing of Ghost Set a Watchman was the publishing event of 2015. Watchman was the best-selling book of the year, selling nearly 1.6 million copies in print. For Richard Howorth, owner of Square Books in Oxford, Mississippi, To Kill a Mockingbird is unquestionably one of the most beloved stories in all of American culture. He says Mockingbird is one of the rare works to have achieved as much critical success as commercial success. That the book earned such a prominent perch in this country's collective imagination, a staple on school reading lists as well as bestseller lists, became both boon and burden for a woman who scorned fame and prized privacy. Published in 1960, the book has sold some 40 million copies to date, making it one of the biggest selling American novels ever. The fact that its author, who hoped her early flirtation with literary stardom would be fleeting and largely disappeared from public life after the book was published, only contributed to the mystique. Having successfully stayed out of the limelight for most of her post-Mockingbird life, Lee became the center of national attention again last year when HarperCollins announced that it would be releasing Ghost Set a Watchman. As it turned out, Ghost Set a Watchman was not actually a new book. In fact, it was an early and rejected draft of Mockingbird, and its publication became one of the biggest industry stories of 2015. Of course, Ghost Shadow Watchmen became a huge hit, just like Mockingbird. It was the best-selling print book of 2015, moving 1.6 million copies, according to Nielsen BookScan. Reese Witherspoon, who narrated the audio edition of Ghost Shadow Watchmen, said, "Lee revealed it all, the glory and the fear and the hate and the beauty." While Oprah Winfrey, who selected Mockingbird for her book club, said on Twitter that Lee was her first favorite author, adding that Lee's response to Winfrey's request for an interview was, "Honey, I already said everything I have to say." So I don't know how much time we have, Donna. There is
another story. You've got about five more minutes, so go for it.
Okay, well, I'll give you a tidbit. Not since 1999 have two titans of the bestseller lists clashed so spectacularly. Back then, in 99, novelist Nora Roberts, already a juggernaut with 35 million books in print, sued Janet Daly, one of our most successful romance writers of the late 20th century, for copying passages and ideas from her published works. The two authors settled out of court, but followers of the genre still talk about the case. Roberts described the experience of being plagiarized as mind rape. So it's not surprising that when number one New York Times best-selling author Sherilyn Kenyon sued number one New York Times best-selling author Cassandra Clare, filing a complaint of copyright and trademark infringement on February 5th, the news spread fast. At issue, to the puzzlement of many observers, isn't word-for-word plagiarism, but what looks like Kenyon's attempt to claim ownership of some of the most archetypal themes in popular culture, an elite band of warriors that must protect the human world from the unseen paranormal threat, for example. And egging Kenyon on is a legion of implacable Cassandra Clare detractors who have had it in for the young adult phenom since her apprenticeship years in the notoriously toxic subculture of Harry Potter fandom. Kenyon has been publishing several interlocking series of paranormal romances under the aegis Dark Hunter since 2002. Clare writes urban fantasy for young adults. Her best-known series is a six-book sequence titled The Mortal Instruments, the first of which, 2007's City of Bones, was made into a not-very-successful Hollywood film in 2013. Both Kenyon's and Clare's series feature secret societies of supernatural crusaders tasked with protecting the unsuspecting human race from predatory demons. Kenyans are dark hunters. Clare calls her group shadow hunters. Currently, Clare's Mortal Instruments is enjoying a TV reboot as a series titled Shadow Hunters on the cable channel Freeform, formerly ABC Family. By all appearances, the TV series precipitated Kenyon's complaint, but her grievance has been stewing for a long time. According to the document, 10 years ago, distressed fans informed Kenyon that Clare was shopping a manuscript for a first novel, eventually published as City of Bones, in a projected series about a group that Clare called Dark Hunters. I'm going to have more on this next week, Donna, but that's a tidbit from this newest and very, very interesting lawsuit.
That is interesting. I have met and known Sherry Kenyon for some time. Don't really know if this is, you know, legitimate or not, because I haven't read anything that Clare has done. So
right.
I guess all we can do is just sit back and wait and see what the courts say.
That's true. The only thing that I can say from personal knowledge, and I've known Sherry for a long time also, all I can say is that her books were products in her mind years and years before she ever wrote them.
Right.
Now, of course, I don't think it matters until it's written, but we shall see what happens with this.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, certainly appreciate you bringing us the news this week, Miss Mallory Kane.
Well, you're welcome. I did hate to hear of the deaths of those three quite interesting authors, especially Harper Lee.
Yeah, I was most familiar with her. And I want so bad to sing the Georgia Girl song. The Georgia Girl song is going through my head, but as you know, we don't have a CCL, so I cannot sing on the radio.
All we can sing is, hey there.
That's right. You have to go 8 bars before it's bad, you know. All right.
That's
the
fair use portion.
I really appreciate you being here. Up next, we are going to have Unoma Quanor, and I'm looking forward to that. And Mallory Kane, I did allow her, thank you, Mallory, to be in the house tonight because it is a little chilly out there and a little damp. Usually she's out in the gazebo, but I think she enjoys coming in just like Bebo does. So and she's going to love that because she's still listening. All right, let's go to break, and then we'll be right back.
Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions worth staying up all night for. Lexi Witcher is the author of young adult contemporary paranormal romances. Her Bittersweet 16 series begins with Dodie Jinx as your typical teenager, until she learns she is the next in line to be claimed by a 300-year-old curse on her 16th birthday. While struggling for her life, Dodie unravels a chain of events that no one is prepared for. Dodie and the warlock she loves work together to find the key that will set the Dougherty descendants free. In the Bittersweet 16 series by Lexi Witcher on Amazon.com and where all fine ebooks are sold.
And don't forget, this week we have two specials, a one-hour special tomorrow night, 8 o'clock with Nancy Nagel, and on Thursday evening, the 25th, Shannon West and Victoria Sue, and I got to tell you, I know Shannon West, and she's crazy. So if you want to have a lot of fun, be here and talk with us and get to know these great authors. They're just all so sweet and so fabulous. And now, I am so excited to be able to share with you that a young lady that was not able to be with us the last time she was scheduled because she became ill, Unoma Quanor, and I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, sweetheart, so just go ahead and tell us what it really is.
Hi, thank you for having me. You did the first part right. It's Unoma, so that's cool. But the last part, the N is silent, so it's Wancor.
Wancor.
Yes.
Okay, Unoma Wancor. Okay, I'm going to ask where you're from, because obviously that is not, you know, it's not Sally Stevens. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I would call myself a Nigerian American.
Okay.
Born in Akron, Ohio. However, went back home to Nigeria at the age of 8. Stayed there till after college, and then I came back. So I lived in both worlds, actually. I try to go home every year, every other year.
I think that's fascinating. I love it.
Yeah.
So
and
now,
I try to bring that to my work, too.
I think that's fabulous. So you have written a book called He Changed My Name.
Yes. And I tuned in when the other two authors, the twins, were on.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I really believe in God ordering steps, because their story is He Changed My Name in fiction. It's,
uh-huh.
When I listen to them, I'm like, oh God, really? Is He Changed My Name in fiction? It And I've heard of them, but I've not read the book, so now I'm going to go order it so I can read their book. But
oh, absolutely.
It's amazing. I never even read it. Synopsis to even know that that was what that book was about until I heard them speaking about it. And he changed my name. It's my latest project. And it follows a lady who was on top of the world, but like you said, people think that they cannot fall. And overnight, she did fall. She's a pop star, and she fell, and she landed up in jail.
Oh, my.
And part of her penance after she served her time was to go and do community service. Because of the type of crime she committed, the judge said, okay, since you like doing this, I'm going to send you to community service here. And so after you serve your jail time, you're going to do this here. So she went, and it happened to be the church. I write Christian romance. So it happens to be the church. And the church is somewhere that she has run away from all her life because she feels the church are full of judgmental people who think that nothing can, they're all self-righteous.
Right.
Because of her past experiences. So she got back into the church to serve this community service. So when she was going, she's not humbled after being in jail for a bit. So she's going, and her whole mindset is, I'm going to serve my jail time and just leave and try and go and make something of myself. I've damaged my name. My album is no more coming out. You know, she has all these things going on, and she gets to the church, and she meets the pastor. So it's an unlikely pairing because he teaches her about grace, redemption, and hope, and restoration. And in the course of their journey, she also teaches him how to, you know, open up his heart and be more accepting. So it's when I listened to those twins talk, I said, I just wrote a story about hope and redemption in fiction.
That is, I love it. I love the way you're talking because, like I was saying before, you know, we all think we can't fall, and, you know,
yeah.
You better put your guard on. You better put that guard on all the time because you can.
Yes.
Now, Yanoma, tell us, who is publishing this for you?
Well, this is actually indie published, my own publication
okay.
company.
Yeah. All right.
This is my sixth title.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told you, I am Nigerian-American. So that means that when you
right.
read my books, it's Christian fiction. So you have faith, you have romance, and then you also have parts of my culture in there as well. My main goal is after teaching, you know, teaching about the gospel, I really do like to educate people about other side of what they think Africa is.
Right.
You know, the media has this particular picture that they show us of what Africa is. But no, we have flashy lights. We have restaurants, five-star. We have everything that's in the Western world. It's just that sometimes the media does not show that part. You only see the starving children and
right.
The sick people with mosquitoes all around. But no, we have great cities in Africa. And so my main goal writing is to educate, entertain, and also inform people that Africa, the countries in Africa, is not what you see on the TV.
Right.
And I've gotten so much feedback because my readers are like, I never knew Lagos was like that. And Lagos is the capital of Nigeria. So
mm-hmm.
they are all really, you know, and I feel good because that's something that I do want to show. But this topic of hope is a personal one for me. So all my characters have lost hope one way or the other. And they're trying to claw their way back to restoration and redemption. So these are people that do know the word of God, but along the way they've kind of let it drop down because of circumstances. And that is so
mm-hmm.
human. You know, it happens. So because
right.
some things you might let go of his hand, and so I try, and that's really personal in my own life, so I try to make sure that all my characters have that particular thing in common. So even though the culture may vary, you know,
mm-hmm.
nobody gets lost reading my book because obviously it's written in a kind of way where you understand what I'm trying to talk about. But
right.
love, hope, and faith, it's a universal theme, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in Nigeria, Kenya, America, Europe, it's a universal theme. And so I just describe it in ways that it's not really the popular. I'm just in this world on my own. And readers have really come to embrace it, and I'm so lucky.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, you were talking about how people have these certain impressions of Africa. And it's so funny that you should bring that up, because I remember I was watching, it was one of the Mission Impossible movies, and they were in, is it Dubai?
Yes.
That's in North Africa.
Yes, and the northern part.
Okay. And I looked at my husband and I said, you know something, we don't think about Africa having, we practically have the conversation you just had. We don't think about Africa having large cities and skyscrapers and all of the things that are in the West, as you were saying. So I find that extremely interesting. So
what's
next?
What's interesting is it's not just from us looking in the lens from the Western world looking back to Africa from that lens. It happens the other way, because remember I told you I lived at home for a large number of for several years. I went to college actually. So when you see the pictures of the Western world, you only show the good places. You're not shown the places that are in the not so developed cities in America, right? You only see flashy lights. So when you come over for the first time, I remember the first time I came back and I drove through this neighborhood, I looked at my brother like, this is in America? You know?
Yeah.
So it's both ways. It's both ways. And I think the media does a disservice to both places when they try and show a picture and not the holistic picture. So that's what I try to do in my novels, to show a holistic picture. So you will have the villages, you will have the old women speaking. I also have some language in there, but it's actually showing a well-rounded picture of what Africa's supposed to look like.
I love that. That just sounds amazing. So what's next for you, Noma?
Well, what's next for me is in as much I write books, and at the same time, I also have an entertainment company. So we just produced our first feature film that premiered in Nigeria last year. It also premiered in Houston, Texas, in the Pan-African Festival. Well, that movie is now on Amazon and Google Stream Pay. It's called Tempting Fate. And so it's available for people to view. It was the number 5 movie in Nigeria last year.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's fabulous.
So it did good. And I couldn't make it the last time. I do apologize. But I think the day I was supposed to be, I just came back from having surgery on my arm. So I haven't been writing, but I will write. My next novel will probably be in October.
Okay.
And it's a sequel to one of the novelettes I have going on. It's called The Final Ultimatum.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I'm working on right now.
That sounds wonderful. Why don't you tell us about your website, where we can find you?
Sure. My website is my first and last name is oneword.com. Very easy. Noma14.com.
Okay. Why don't you spell that for everybody?
Sure. UNONWANKWOR.com. Again, that's www.unomanKWOR.com. If you go to my website, you're able to see all my other social media platforms.
That's fabulous. That is fabulous. I love it. Listen, I have loved having you on. And
thank you.
The things that you're saying about Africa and everything, you know, it's so wonderful when I can have someone on that I'm learning from, just like the two ladies that were on before you. You know, when I can learn from that, it's always interesting for me and always makes my night go smoother. But I've loved having you, and I hope that sometime we can have you again.
Yes, it will be my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, sweetheart. And that is Unoma Ankwar. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, but she's fabulous, and I think you need to go buy her book immediately. He Changed My Name is the name of it, and we will be back right after this.
Award-winning author Leanne Tyler writes sweet and a little bit sensual Southern romances, historical and contemporary, and maybe a touch of the paranormal thrown in for good measure. Her novel Season of Love is a time travel set in 1850 Charleston. Leanne Tyler's The Good Luck series shines with delightful down-home writing and humor. More for your historical romance fix is Leanne's short story Ava from the Love Letters series and also her full-length novel Because of Rebecca. Look for author Leanne Tyler through all published and ebook venues such as Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine romance books are sold.
And yes, that's true that Leanne Tyler is a fabulous author. I've read all of her books, and you're going to love them. I would just like to give a big shout-out to Nancy Nagel, who will be on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Don't miss it. And on February 25th, Shannon West and Victoria Sue, you will have so much fun with them, and you will enjoy that, believe me. I am going to say goodnight for now, but tomorrow night, be here at 8 o'clock for Nancy Nagel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright, is brought to you by Dark Hollows Press and produced by Leanne Tyler. Production manager, Jackie DeVera. All music provided by Kevin MacLeod and Incompetech.com.